Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Good morning, Japan! Drew Hill covers the Grizzlies, covers everything for the Daily Memphian. Dunk Shoot magazine in Japan, nice enough to join us. Usually joins us Thursday, but we felt like today was a much better day to have him, given the events of last night. He joins us now. Konnichiwa, Drew.
Very kind to do so, Drew. Thank you.
John likes to make fun of me for my work in overseas, or poke fun. I was actually on ESPN China last night for the game, so that was kind of cool. I've never done that before, so shout out ESPN China for having me.
I need a
we
moment.
Must be able to hear more about
I need
that,
a moment so. to digest the ESPN China thing.
Right.
We're going
to
try you on a different line to make sure that they don't intercept this call.
Because
right?
It's going in and out.
We're
going
to call you
we
right back.
We want to make sure
through.
We hear every word.
So ESPN, what are, you know, I don't want to get into the geopolitical.
I only watch sort of ESPN this, Deportes.
But I don't know what the, you know, relations are between China and Japan. Drew, are you with us?
Yes, sorry. I don't know what happened.
You were on ESPN Deportes or ESPN China?
ESPN China.
Holy
ESPN
cow.
China.
Now,
yeah.
now help
That's
me.
That's bigger,
so,
it feels like.
So, okay.
Because it goes to more people.
Yuki, not Chinese.
No.
What business did ESPN China want with you then?
Great question.
The NBA is pretty big deal in China.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew that.
LeBron.
Yeah, some people forget that, right? But no, the NBA is a big deal in China, and they were just there covering the game. You know, there's a lot of Warriors fans out there. And Zach Edey
is Chinese.
Zach Edey's mom. Yep.
All right, fair enough.
So did talk a little bit about Zach Edey, but no, I mean, obviously, same result. This was one that the Grizzlies psyched themselves up for big time. I thought there was some genuine confidence that they were capable of winning, that they were going to win the game. And same thing, same story, man.
Yeah.
It's the same thing over and over and over again on repeat. And you know what? They did it all over again last night, but it was a different vibe last night afterwards, you know, because this time they finally acknowledged, like, you know, we keep saying the same stuff and convincing ourselves that we're going to do it. Then we just don't do it, you know? And so at some point that frustration just catches up to you. But one last chance now, one last chance to get to the playoffs. It'll be an interesting, it's an interesting predicament that the fans are in to decide what they're going to cheer for here. We can talk about that. I plan on probably writing about that at some point today. Obviously not a fun one last night for the Grizzlies.
Let's assume you win that one, Drew. For this roster, for where everything is right now, maybe even for Tuomas Iisalo as a permanent head coach, How important is whatever experience you get, 4 games, 5 games, 6 games, maybe you push them 7, how important is that experience? Because we all think it would be a loss. I mean, everybody in the world does. Look at the way OKC has played. Of course it would be. That's a tall order. How valuable would that experience be for this roster, this team, this organization?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard question to answer, Jason, just because, you know, the players, like Desmond Bane made it clear last night, because I asked him the question without even asking. Like, he's aware, obviously, of the narrative here. But, you know, he said, this is what you play for as players. Like, you play to be in the playoffs, right? Like, this is why we put in all the work. Like, you're not just going to put in all the work to try to get into the playoffs and then the opportunity's there and it's like you don't care about it anymore. Like, it's just not how it works. And I certainly relate to that. I think that that's probably true. But in terms of experience and how much it matters, I mean, maybe a little bit. I mean, but it just depends, because if you OKC is so good, if you just get in 4 blowouts mm-hmm. or 3 out of 4 blowouts, I mean, really, what does that do for you? You know, the Grizzlies lost to OKC by an average margin of 18.8 points this season. Like, if you're not playing close playoff games and getting a taste of the playoffs,
right,
it's the value just decreases. And maybe the Grizzlies can put up enough of a fight in that series, in that potential series, to, you know, to make the games close and make them feel worthwhile.
Yep.
But they haven't shown that they're capable of doing that this year. So, I don't know. I think it's an interesting question. Yep. And then on the other side of the coin, though, we can ask how much a first-round pick is valuable to this team.
Well, that's where I was going. I asked you that to ask you if it's low value, if we think that the, you know, the likelihood is short series, not much experience, if that's, and you kind of said it, if that's a lower value, isn't the value of the pick as it relates to trying to fix this thing right now, not using it in the draft, but and bringing in another young player, but you using it to package with whatever, getting that asset this year, is that not a higher value?
Yes. No, I think that there's certainly the possibility that that is a higher value.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, I think I misunderstood Jeff's point earlier, which was like, I thought he was like suggesting that the Grizzlies could like do something actionable to make sure that they keep their pick. And now that avenue might be Jaws' injury, but like, I think I was misunderstanding Jeff there, because I think he was just saying, you know, it's a cheering choice here, and fans are going to cheer one way or another. I went back last night after the game, it was incredibly late, and just sort of looked through rookies that had played, and this is what I'll write about at some point today once I get to the airport, but rookies who played significant playoff minutes in their first season after being drafted, because that's something we have to consider here, is whichever player you might bring in the draft, and I get it, you'd have like less than a 1% chance of landing Cooper Flagg, but whoever you do end up drafting in the late lottery, you know, those players typically aren't contributing to playoff teams in their first season significantly. It's funny, because if you look around the rest of the NBA right now, you can't name one rookie that's going to be playing outside of Ron Holland, who's going to be playing significant minutes in the playoffs this season, outside of the two that were going to play significant minutes for the Grizzlies, Zach Edey and Jalen Wills. Like, Dalton Connect, his minutes have gone down at the end of the season. He's not playing much. You know, like, none of these teams are using rookies in significant roles. So if the goal is to win right now, like, I just don't know how much it certainly could be the better option than just getting bounced in 4 games. Like, don't get me wrong, and it'll be way more entertaining if the Grizzlies do have a first-round pick this offseason. I'm not arguing with that. I'm just saying it's just highly unlikely that you're going to add a late lottery rookie and then think that he's going to play on a team that you expect to be a playoff team. So I don't know. I don't know. It's
like if the Grizzlies
interesting conundrum.
If the Grizzlies drafted like Liam McNeely, right?
That's yeah. That's why I'm not interested in draft whatsoever. It's only in
help.
Packaging it with Gigi Jackson, who maybe you've sort of held back on, including in deals, because you've thought so much on his future and it's kept you young or whatever. That's my point. Is Drew is no, not using it for a draft pick whatsoever. Because you're right. In the end, when you're trying to win now, that doesn't help you. You've got enough of those right now, Drew. Hell, you're trying to develop guys as it is that are older than the ones you're bringing in. So I mean, in addition to developing the ones you're bringing in. So, no, man, I'm all about trying to package that asset, using it to get better right now with veteran help, this offseason.
No, I'm with you,
Yes.
I'm with you, Jason. I think that makes more sense.
Right.
You also have to consider here that there's going to be a cap hold, especially on a lottery pick.
Mm-hmm.
And given all of what we know about the Jared situation, and the Grizzlies have publicly said that they hope he's all NBA this season, so that they can work out a long-term extension there. That's a pathway for the Grizzlies to have more money this offseason if Jaren does finish all NBA to put more players around the core of three. And I know people are frustrated with the way Jaren played last night. That's a totally different conversation, but I still think they're going to work on an extension with Jaren. Or there's a scenario in which, the Grizzlies have to try to work on a different renegotiate with him this summer and then try to extend him off of that to get to a similar money pathway. That was, it's part of the reasoning behind the Marcus Smart trade, because it allows them to navigate that in a different way. Well, some of these different pathways that the Grizzlies can take require different moves to happen in order to free up money and find a way to maintain and improve the roster, because obviously you can't just run it back with what you've got right now. And if you were to have a draft pick, there's going to be a cap hold on that player, which is going to mean, saying goodbye to other players. Those might be players you actually have interest in keeping. So it adds another layer of complication too,
mm-hmm.
To all of this. And so again, it's really hard. I've gone back and forth on it quite a bit this morning about what is more valuable, to get in the playoffs and get humbled, but at least have that experience and get over the psychological hump of just freaking winning a big game. It would be nice for them to win on Friday, because it would be nice for their mental. It would be nice for that, because it's been such a beatdown this season. It's just been one demoralizing news break, one demoralizing loss after the next. And so, it would be good for their psyche if they could get a win, but at the same time, is it good for the future of the team? I'm not sure.
Well, I guess I would contend that ego death has already happened. They've already been humbled. They've been humbled over the course of 2 years, really. I mean, this team was climbing with a silver bullet, right? I mean, they looked like they were going to be one of the staples in the West, in the top three every single year. I mean, I go back to 22, 23, 21, 22. That's how we felt. And now, they're not that, obviously. So the ego has died. So, I don't think they can be any more humble than they've already been. And I don't even think being swept to a team with the highest net rating in the history of the NBA in the Oklahoma City Thunder, could possibly, humble them anymore. I think it's more about just, it's hard to capture, man. Even when you think you have it in the NBA, you can't just assume you're going to keep ascending, And for some reason, it just feels like it's stalled out. And Jaren's deal, you mentioned, maybe there's some more palatable, machinations. You could do a shorter term up front and then give yourself some flex, whatever. I don't know what his willingness to do that would be. I have no idea. But I just think it's a cautionary tale that you should never assume. You should never assume in the NBA that just because you're at a certain point with a young core that it's just gonna, that arrow is just gonna keep pointing up, because there's a good chance that it will not.
Yeah, no, I think that's spot on, and I don't get the sense that the belief is lost in this core, in the three, that have carried the team to this point. But it's also true, they just don't have enough around them right now to win some of these games. Like, they made bets on the wrong players this season, because Gigi ended up, statistically being one of the worst defensive players in the entire league this year. And so that played him off the court. And Vince, with some of the injuries and setbacks, never really was able to get off the ground. And we saw him very briefly last night, and it was not good. And so you factor in the fact that you lost, two of your most important players on defense, before the postseason.
Huge.
It was somewhat surprising that the team was down by 4 points to me, given that Jaren was playing poorly, and Jaren does not always play poorly in the postseason. That's a narrative that I think people have screwed up. Like, go back and look at the way he played in some of these previous postseason opportunities. But Jaren played poorly. Ja wasn't at his best, clearly. And this was before he had turned the ankle, but Ja still wasn't at his best in that game. And Desmond Bane was playing pretty good, but he hadn't fully hit his stride yet. And the Grizzlies were down by 4 points. And it was like, how is this game this close? Like, it felt like there should have been more separation for Golden State at that stage. And to me, that's when I kind of wondered. I was like, is this just going to be their night? Like, well, what's going on here? And then obviously the Ja ankle turn thing happens, and everything changes, and what we're talking about today changes, because, if they found a way to win that game, we'd be sitting here today talking about, whether or not they got a shot at beating Houston in the playoff series. But here we are now talking about, the draft. That's just the way it goes.
What stood out to you most about the last 5 seconds? Everybody's talking about the inbounds. In terms of your eyes, what you saw, what stood out most about Santi not being able to get that ball in?
I mean, first of all, Sonny's just got to throw it in. If you turn it over, you turn it over. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to get a pass up.
I agree.
You've got to get something in the air. Some people said that they thought the count was short. It didn't seem short to me.
I thought it was. I thought it was, but you were there, so I defer to you.
I was trying.
Not your man Harrington thought it was short too.
Yeah, maybe it was. Maybe it was a little short, but I was trying to watch on the highlight tape, like, to see when he hands him the ball versus when the ball leaves his hands. And it's, like, right at 5 seconds.
Okay.
So I think it was, like, close enough to where you can't be completely outraged about it. Now, the officiating, they had a night last night, fellas. Like, that was...
Oh, especially down straight.
That was horrible. Horribly one-sided, I thought, during stretches of the third quarter where Golden State's just getting phantom fouls and whatever. And then the Grizzlies end up catching two massive breaks inside the last 2 minutes. The last 2 minute report is going to be ugly when that comes out. But I just thought that, the way that the team played towards the end and the way that the late game execution failed them continues to be the story of the season. And Santi just has to throw that ball in, and it didn't happen. And there wasn't urgency to get open either. Like, I thought Eric Hasseltine's radio call was, like, kind of summed it up perfectly. If you go back and watch, it's like when they start to play, it's not full speed from the minute that it goes. It's like a build to full speed at 3 seconds. But by that point, it was too late and nobody was open and they were out of timeouts.
Yeah, it was super unfortunate. Now, as it relates to tonight, I mean, they do have another game. Well, obviously, be the winner of Mavs Kings. Which team do you think the Grizzlies would prefer to play?
I think they'd prefer to play the Mavs, but I think it will be the Kings. Kings have, in my opinion, a little bit more fight to them at this point in the season. They fired a coach. They made a big trade at the trade deadline. Like, they should be trying to play for the postseason. And they're not a team that had the expectation of, like, contending for a Western Conference Finals this season. They had the expectation of a team that hoped to make the postseason, and they're right there in that spot if they win tonight. So I think it'll probably be Sacramento. And I think the Grizzlies probably would prefer it be Dallas, though.
Now, Ja Ankle, man, what do you think about, you know, where he'll be if he is out there as he says he will be? You know what, maybe a percentage. Again, there's no way he's 100%, right? But we saw it. He took the whatever they were saying, Advil. It looked like he popped some pills. They showed the video of that. Do you think he can be close to 90, close to 95, or was that, did it look bad enough he's going to be hobbling this thing?
I don't know about 90 or 95. It didn't seem great. He had a pretty big limp after the game, during the game. And I think there was a lot of respect for him from his teammates and also from the Warriors, by the way, that he got back out there after the injury. Yeah, Ja says he's going to play, and, you know, he was pretty strong with his words there, but we're going to get nothing on this leading up to the game.
Yeah,
the way it's going to be, because Ja essentially gave that answer, but he was cutting you off before you could ask the full question. Basically, as soon as you mentioned the ankle, you could tell he just did not want to talk about it. And then, you know, with Asalo, he immediately said afterwards, like, I've got no information, nothing on the ankle. Like, you know, now they probably won't say a word about that ankle injury until just before the game on Friday.
All right. Well, there you have it.
Drew, thank you, man. Great work.
Enjoy it, and we'll see you back here in Memphis on Friday.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.